Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Preparing for Disaster in America, on August 5th, 2014. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages, located in Palos Verdes. The Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages, all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can find out more about us at facebook.com/The South Bay Show or visit our website, thesouthbayshow.com. Preparing for disaster in America. This is a subject that can never be treated lightly, but we do our best to make it interesting, engaging, and yes, even entertaining to learn the few key skills and primary information that could save your life, your family's lives, that of a neighbor in a time of crisis, or the life of a treasured pet. Our mission is to engage hearts and minds and build knowledge and skills to help you prepare for whatever may come. This show is a true collaboration with Solid Roots in the Community and a partnership with the Official Disaster Preparation Establishment. Our producer is founder and president of the local Manhattan Beach CERT Association and the Red Cross's Community Ambassador to Manhattan Beach, Mr. George Butts. Hey, George, how are you doing today?
Yeah, top of the morning, Joe. I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Okay, good. And, of course, no one is bushier-tailed than my co-host. And with us today, of course, is owner-producer-writer of SouthBayByJackie.com, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. I'm very bushy-tailed.
I'm so excited to be here. This is for all of us, I think. This is reviewing sort of revisiting an area of the country that we all love, that we all have ties to, but also that was the seat of the site of an unprecedented disaster in 2005, the landing of Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana, and our guest has a lot of experience with that. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Guy Ligest. He's the emergency manager for Plaquemines Parish in Belchase, Louisiana. Guy serves a population of over 22,000 citizens in Louisiana's southernmost parish, as well as vital seafood, agricultural, and oil and gas industry sectors. Serving as primary parish emergency operations officer, he has developed and maintained long-term contacts with the Department of Homeland Security, State Office of Emergency Preparedness, Louisiana National Guard, Southeast Louisiana Hurricane Task Force, parish businesses, 911 dispatchers, and various federal, local, and state agencies. Guy handles specialized planning and provides technical assistance for protection of critical infrastructure, security, compliance, hazard planning, logistics, and has managed risk issues involving major hurricanes, floods, industrial events, including Hurricane Isaac, Tropical Storm Debbie, saltwater intrusion, and the Sun Drilling chemical fire. He monitors the Security Control Center for the parish, reviews incident reports, trains and directs staff, and coordinates with outside agencies, including fire, police, and paramedics. Guy also assists in developing and implementing emergency preparedness planning. He formulates and updates emergency response plans and makes them available to the public, dispatchers, and first responders. So what are they doing down there in Southeast Louisiana to prevent another Katrina Guy is here to explain to us exactly what they're doing. Welcome to the program, Guy. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having us. I know all the folks out in Los Angeles, this might be a little new to them. We appreciate your concern with us and following back up with us.
Absolutely, Guy. And we all, I think George, Jackie, and I have some connection with Louisiana. My dad was born in Slidell. And
right across the lake. It's right very hard for Katrina.
Yes. And that was a big deal. Now, of course, my parents were older and had left Louisiana for Chicago many years before, but it hit our family hard in many ways. And so, first of all, I want you to just give us an idea of where Belle Chasse, Louisiana, is in relationship to New Orleans and where Katrina hit.
Well, it's kind of simple, actually, to see us. We're the little finger, if you look at the map of the United States. Louisiana has the boot and the toe. Well, we're the little toe that sticks out into the Gulf of Mexico. Around here, they like to call us a canary. We're the first ones out in the Gulf, so if something's coming, we're the first ones to get it. We straddle the Mississippi River from the city of New Orleans all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, approximately 160 miles long, but we're very narrow. If you hear something in the background, I apologize. Our office is right next to a naval air station, so that's the sound of freedom flying over our head every now and then.
I love it. I love it.
The sound of freedom. Okay.
But we're located right down there, tip of the boot, all the way into the Gulf of Mexico. Not a lot of dry land. We straddle the Mississippi River, like I said. We're about a mile wide on each side of the river. Mostly our area is marsh and waterways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I assume even without, you know, we often focus, everyone focuses on what happened in the Ninth Ward and the seawall, the levee break, but
right.
in your area you get the surge even when a little one comes through.
That's correct. For Katrina, we were actually the first land that was inundated. It crossed our parish about halfway down our parish towards the Gulf of Mexico. We had a 28-foot surge of water. We clocked winds in excess of 160 miles an hour. We had a lot of destruction of wind and water in that area. Mm. When it left us, we get hit twice, kind of. The way our parish is situated, east side, west side of the river. The way Katrina came, it came around from the west, kind of, heading back northeast. So we got the inundation in the water as it came approached us. Mm-hmm. Then when it passed us and started getting up towards the Mississippi Gulf Coast, then the water wraps back around on our west side and flooded the west side of our parish.
Mm-hmm.
Also. That's more of a 10 to 12-foot surge because you're getting the backlash of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the same thing happened to us just recently in Isaac. As you know, was not a very intense storm at all. Bailey made a Category 1, but it sat on top of us here for a very long period of time, pushing that water. We had a 14-foot wall of water. Our levees in the area where it came ashore are only 12-foot, so we had an inundation there again.
Mm-hmm.
Of water in our parish. And unfortunately, it was many of the folks who had rebuilt from being devastated from Katrina 7 years prior.
Right.
Almost to the day.
Wow.
So.
You are a very busy man, being the emergency manager in a place that is visited by a regular, attack, a regular emergency on a regular basis. There's other emergencies, of course. Give us an idea of the different kinds of emergencies that you prepare for beyond the hurricane, and then we'll be back to the hurricane.
Sure. Well, petroleum is, you know, our number one in South Louisiana. We have a national ranking. We're second in the nation, petroleum refining and chemical products. We're first in the nation for ports and waterways with the New Orleans and the Mississippi River. We're fourth in the nation for oil and gas exploration and production.
Mm-hmm.
And gas transmission pipelines, we're first in the nation that cross our parish and our state. So the hazmat side of our house is really doesn't get as much press, I guess, as you would want to call it, except for the BP. We were ground zero for the BP oil spill.
Mm.
We were inundated with the most oil of any coastal parish or any dry area of the state of Louisiana or the United States of America. As you know, the president came down here several times. My boss, our parish president, made kind of a name for himself on CNN with his fight at the BP oil spill. But the hazmat side of our house is our biggest concern on a daily basis for our residents and for our area. We're fortunate that we're a UASI area, Urban Area Support Security Initiative area, and our region is New Orleans, Jefferson Parish, St. Bernard Parish, and ourselves is a full parish. You know, we have parishes instead of counties. Our area takes in that whole bottom corner of southeast Louisiana. The Mississippi River is such a huge asset. We have such transportation on that river that that's one of our primary concerns, to keep that river up and operating at all times. You know, if we have any type of spill or any type of accident on the river, you know, it impacts not only us but the entire United States, especially the Midwest where all that traffic comes down from. So the hazmat issue is something that is our daily, if you want to call it, bread and butter. That's what with all the chemicals and the pipelines, the petroleum industry down here, that's where we work our most. And I've got to say, you know, I'm very happy that we have a very good, not only a success rate, but a safety rate. We haven't had any major loss of lives or anything. You know, BP was very unfortunate. That was our biggest one, I think, forever, that we had a loss of lives, which is always a sad thing to happen. But our industry, the petroleum industry for the United States, is, although it's, you know, it could be some hectic times, we have a very good relationship. We have a very good LEPC in our area. We work with all the industry and plants, chemical plants, and we meet monthly. So hazmat is where our major concern is.
Now, you talked about fishing, and I want to talk about that for a minute, because I have personally been involved in what's called the Controlled Environment Agriculture Movement. It's also called the Local Food Movement and many other names, depending on what handle you're approaching it by. But basically, I'm looking at developing farms that are close to the populations that they serve, essentially farms in cities.
Right.
And the looking at this, you look at, you know, Louisiana and other waterways, main estuaries between fresh and salt water, and you look at the sort of the, I would say, the dangers there. It isn't oil and gas. It isn't spilling of oil. I mean, even though BP was a tremendous disaster, it isn't that. The thing that many of the people in my world are concerned about in controlled environment agriculture is farming runoff. Do you see that in your area? And tell us about fishing and how's that doing?
Well, we have a saying down here: you can fish anywhere in the United States, but you catch fish in Plaquemines Parish.
Okay.
We feel that we're the number one location for fishing. The waters here, the brackish waters and also the Gulf of Mexico, is such abundant with fish.
Right.
But also, recently, a byproduct of the BP oil spill, if you will, the state of Louisiana was able to get some monies, and they're producing two hatcheries for fishing, for new fish, more of the line what you're talking about. And one of those hatcheries will be right here in Plaquemines Parish. We take it very serious. Most of our folks here, if you're not employed in the oil and gas industry, you're employed, self-employed, really, in the fishing industry. Our oysters, our shrimp, and our offshore fishing itself is tremendous. Of course, we watch that with a very eagle eye. What we have also down here is the big, you know, the loss of coastline. So things that have happened recently, or movements that are progressing recently, is diversion of fresh water from the Mississippi. When the Mississippi was channeled back in the day, the natural runoff has gone away. So that's where we lose our coastline. You don't have the fresh water feeding the estuaries or those marshlands to grow that, the marshlands. So they are now cutting diversions into the Mississippi River to spread that water out a little more. The Mississippi River, the volume of the Mississippi River, as you're seeing right now up in Ohio with the bloom of the algae bloom up there affecting their water supply, we're fortunate that the Mississippi River, we drain two-thirds of the United States. So the volume more or less deletes the dangers, I guess, if you want to call it, from the runoffs. Not to say that, you know, if we had a massive chemical spill or anything like that up the river, you know, we're very cognizant of that. With our, all of our water intakes for the area, you know, in this part of Louisiana, we all draw our water from the Mississippi River.
Right.
One of the things in my bio was the saltwater intrusion. That's not the saltwater intrusion from the coastal erosion. What we have every year, and right now is the time of year, with the dryness in the United States, the Mississippi River itself, you know, reduces in volume and drops, if you will. So when it drops, the Gulf of Mexico comes in.
Mm.
So the water in the river actually reverses itself, basically. The water on the top, the salt water and the cold water at the bottom, you know, it's like a two-channel happening. So we, in Plaquemines Parish, one of our freshwater intakes is down at the lower end of our parish. So every year we shut down that water intake because of the salt water. What happened to us with the drought 2 years ago was the salt water intrusion, where that salt water made its way up the Mississippi River way beyond normal, even to the part where it was going to threaten the intake of the water for the city of New Orleans. The United States Corps of Engineers had to come in and produce a berm, which is a levee, at the bottom of the river where the salt rods on the bottom, the heavier water rods on the bottom, and the berm stopped the intrusion of the salt water before it could get upriver to affect the water intakes. Because, as you know, you can't purify salt water. So I know I kind of buried off the question, but the fishing industry is very obviously important to us.
Very important, very important. And what's the state of the fishing industry, in your opinion?
We think it came back great. I mean, everybody was concerned. There were so many unknowns, and there's still some unknowns out there with the BP. But the state has, LSU Ag Center has done a tremendous job of wildlife and fisheries, of monitoring and working with the locals. Our oyster industry is back and thriving. That was one of our ones that we felt they had to be closed during the spill, but everything's back open now. The farming areas where the underwater groves of the oysters are. And all of that, all of our stuff, we have not seen, knock on wood, any detrimental effect to it. It slowed us down during the disaster itself, but everything now seems to be coming back like it's supposed to be.
Well, that's great news. I mean, I expected different news, but this is great to hear.
Right. We found that, you know, how the news is carried, and a lot of people, you know, were shying away from eating Louisiana shrimp or oysters. I mean, tell you, I'm born and raised here. I've never stopped eating it. I live, my home is located right on the water, basically, in the southern part of our parish, and we never saw a hiccup. We kept doing what we were doing all the time, and we never had a problem. And I'm here to tell you that the seafood from Louisiana is very good, and always has been, always will be.
Jackie,
the cleanup was a success, and the people of southern Louisiana are happy with the way it turned out.
Yes, and I think it's an ongoing process. Like I said, there's so many unknowns. You know, we've never had a disaster of this type in the continental United States. But it's gonna take time to see what plays out. But as of right now, we feel everything is back to normal. If you know, it is a new normal, just like Katrina. Everything was a new normal. But as far as our seafood, it's fine.
Right.
The city of New Orleans, you know, they do a great job hosting any convention or Super Bowl that they get, and all of our seafood is served up in the city of New Orleans. So it's a very good time for Louisiana, and a very good time for this area in particular.
How convenient. I'm going to be there in October.
Oh, well, you have to look me up. Please do.
Let's see.
Please
all
do.
Right.
we make a good host. We love to entertain in Louisiana. We're glad to show you a good time, and we definitely steer to the right food, that's for sure.
Well, I mentioned that before, that I've got families down there that are our family to me, and so I'll actually be down there the beginning of October, and the best boil that I've ever had is is down in Louisiana. Now, my friends have a place in Venetian Isle.
Oh yeah. That's in the city itself, right?
Yes, up off the 90. But then they also live downtown and work downtown. But of course, the second best boil is in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
every other, and this coming April, we will have another one there for charity. So that's something we'll talk about down the road. But
well, October's a good time to come because it's cooler weather, and
yep.
And we do travel. I have a good friend, G.W. Bailey, who lives in your area, obviously, in Los Angeles. And we go there once a year and cook for the staff. It's called Major Crimes now, is the show now. But we go there and do a little Louisiana fest, if you will, to feed all them.
I've heard
of that. They really appreciate it. And we love going there. Of course, my kids, they love going to see all the actors and going on the set and that stuff. But we really enjoy going there and doing that.
All right. Well, that would be fun. That would be fun. Keep me in mind.
Sure.
Right,
sure. We enjoy it.
Hmm.
My week after Katrina was a good deal of it was spent at Venetian Isle, and
right.
Then a couple of days were actually spent downtown, not too far. From the stadium and cleaning up some 6 foot high underwater, what happens when you build below sea level?
Right.
They were lucky enough that when they did a remodel, they had to build at sea level, but the water still came 4 feet above. Up above that too,
right?
The marks.
Katrina was a tough thing for all of us. Obviously, I know your show's on preparation, and it's always tough to prepare. Well, one thing since Katrina, we've tried to push back, especially in our area. The previous storm was almost 30 years prior, Camille and Betsy, were in the 60s. So people get, just as in now, people get laxed or complacent anywhere, in the United States, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Typical with 9/11, things ramped up after and then everybody kind of forgets about it, the threat for a while. But what we tried to explain to folks now is, and I know I date myself when I say these things, but I remember as a young kid, I was a youngster doing Camille and Betsy in the 60s. And my parents always filled the bathtub with water or had the canned goods. And that's what we as emergency managers, we do a traveling road show prior to hurricane season every year. It's June 1st. It kicks off. So we do a little traveling road show in our own parishes, go and talk to civic groups or anybody that will listen to us just for preparedness, doing shows like yourself have,
mm-hmm.
getting on anything in the air. And what we try to tell folks is go back to that simple plan, the simple plan of be prepared to take care of yourself or your family for 72 hours before the cavalry will come. The government, FEMA, I've got to say, has done a tremendous job. Change around. I'm glad to say that they learned from Katrina. For Isaac, they pushed so far forward. I was kidding them. The storm wasn't even here yet, and I had more FEMA folks here in the area than we even had for Katrina.
Yeah.
They leaned very forward, and not just the feds, but also our state government. Our governor's office for Homeland Security did the same thing. Governor Jindal, pre-positioned plenty of assets, and they were prepared. They were you never can be over-prepared, but they were prepared. They were pushing, learning from those past experiences. And that's what we try to tell to individual folks. The simple things, to be ready. You know, if you can sustain yourself to some degree before the government will get there, take care of yourself and your family. Be prepared for that. The olden days, I guess, is we all remember Christmas club accounts, and those have kind of gone away. You don't hear too much about that nowadays. So I tell people, make it a hurricane account. You know, put the $5 or $10 away, whatever you can afford. We know it's very costly on folks, too, when we call for mandatory evacuation. And unfortunately, in our area, especially in my parish, it's almost a common thing where we have to call for the evacuations because of the inundation and the threat of water. Most lives during a tropical cyclone are lost due to water, not wind. So that's what we have to get them out of those low-lying areas. Phoenician Isles is a perfect example. Outside of the hurricane risk reduction system, as half of my parish is outside, we call it the Great Wall of New Orleans, which was constructed after Katrina to prevent those storm surges. The Army Corps of Engineers did a great job of constructing it, but it doesn't encompass everyone. The lower-lying areas are still outside of it, and those folks have to be very cautious and get out. And we know it's expensive every time they have to do that. You know, it costs on your family. So we ask them to try to prepare, put them a couple dollars away. If you have to go to your aunts or your cousins or even a hotel, you can, you know, you don't want to lose a life. One of the sad things that I've had in my job is, you know, for Hurricane Katrina, major inundation. Our parish, 24,000 folks, and I hate to use the word only, we only lost four folks to drowning. But what was worse than that is for Isaac, you know, a minimal storm in comparison to Katrina. You know, I lost two folks. And, you know, they were under the impression that, oh, we lived through Katrina, it can't be that bad. And they lost their lives in Isaac. And that's a sad, for an emergency manager, you know, I take it to heart. I'm responsible for the lives of every single person in my parish. And I, you know, when something like that happens, you know, it just eats me up. Is there something more that I can do? And that's why I don't mind getting on shows like yourself. Because if I can reach out to one person listening out there to understand and to be prepared, whether it's a wildfire or earthquake in your area or whatever it may be, you know, think about yourself and your family, and that's the most important thing in this world is to make sure that you're around the next day after everything's said and done.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I agree, Guy. And you're listening to the South Bay Show, Preparing for Disaster in America. We're very lucky to have emergency manager Guy Legest, emergency manager for Plaquemines Parish in Belle Chasse, Louisiana, and we're discussing an all-hazards approach, as we always do, to the things that they need to prepare for there at the tip of the spear in Louisiana, or what do you call it? The
canary.
The canary. wonderful. We're having a great time. And if you'd like to call in and ask Guy a question or make a comment, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That number is 714, area code 714-242-5288, and give us a question or make a comment. We'd love to have you. And Guy, at this time we normally take a break and thank a sponsor. Jackie, who are we going to thank today?
Joe, you know, it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, Certified Public Accountants and Consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations, such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
BCWS, there you go.
More preparing.
Yes, more preparing.
We're all about preparing.
And Guy, you know, we often talk to emergency managers like yourself, and we talk about 72 hours, but we also talk about here in Southern California with earthquakes and the possibility that there will be an interruption in the filling of the grocery stores and so forth. We say you might be on your own effectively for as much as a week or two.
Right.
What do you think about that?
I think that's great. One of the things we saw, and some of the things folks don't think about, and you're affected in so many different ways when a hazard occurs, a disaster. New Orleans area was only receives their shipments from prescription drugs from outside the area. It's a normal route that I guess they come through. But most of the stores get their prescription drugs delivered on Tuesdays. So we found that interruption, with the storm hitting on a Monday, the deliveries couldn't get to the stores on Tuesdays. So that meant they went a whole nother week until the deliveries got back. Like you're saying, it's not 72 hours. In that case, some folks were scrambling for prescriptions because they didn't come back to the area with the deliveries for a week.
Yeah.
So it's hard to pinpoint everything that you might need. But, we always say your prescription medicines, your important papers, the little things that kind of slip by because you use them on a daily basis. You know, an extra charger for your cell phone. We're all tethered to those things nowadays. If you have to evacuate or if you forget the charger, you know, those type of things. We know down here, you know, our cell phones didn't even work. We had a hard time with satellite phones even during Katrina. But the little things, if you can – technology nowadays, the new stuff, and I'm dating myself again, but the Twitters and the Facebooks, the amount of communication and the amount of information that is shared nowadays, my heart goes out to the lady, the housewife from Atlanta, who was sitting at home during the ice storm over there when the roads got clogged up, things shut down. She started the Facebook blog or page, and she was responsible for getting help to folks that were stuck in that massive traffic jam. Two or three folks who were pregnant, people that were sick. And it was all this one lady who just took it upon herself, who was good. You know, she's a housewife, a homemaker. So she, you know, comfortable with Facebook. She goes on it on a daily basis. So she set it up all on her own. And people were communicating from their cars and getting, you know, first responders were able to get to folks. I could tell you personal experience for Isaac. We received many calls into our 911 system from folks outside the area who their loved ones had contacted over Facebook that said they were trapped in their home or in their attic, and we were able to get first responders to those folks. Your cell phones or your landlines don't normally work when we have a big disaster, earthquake especially, obviously. So, you know, those are the little things. We're also preaching to folks now. I mentioned the wall of New Orleans, our risk reduction system that protects the city now. A lot of those folks are finding that they might not necessarily have to evacuate, but electricity could be out, even though you might not be threatened by the storm itself. It's from waters, but the power in your area might go out, so it could be several days before that's returned. And I can tell you, in South Louisiana in August, you don't want to be without air condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, you know, and I understand people, and you know, I know some folks listening will say, you know, air conditioning shouldn't be a big thing, but you know, when you have this type of climate that we have down here, some of the older folks, you know, air conditioning is not a luxury; it is a necessity.
Absolutely, for people to, and we worry about that well as well here. Some, if there's an extended hot spell,
right.
we worry about making sure that older folks and those that are, you know, vulnerable stay cool. That's absolutely important.
I take exception to that because I don't consider myself real old.
Yeah.
But 7 years ago when I was down there, after Katrina, had it not been for a window air conditioner and a generator, after 14 hours of working during daylight hours, for us to be able to relax after a sun shower and survive an evening down there, we had to be in the AC. And I was a lot younger then. I was not 60 yet, but
While I was sleeping in a 20-man tent, you had air conditioning.
Well, you know what can I tell you?
Oh, the hell with you, George. I was working 14-hour days sleeping in a tent.
All right. Well, you know, apparently you just didn't prepare properly because we blanketed off the living room and slept on the floor, and the generator was good enough for about 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And when it ran out, we all knew it was time to get up and start at it again.
Not only that, I think we had one electrical outlet for every six beds. You imagine six women trying to all plug in their cell phones and whatever else they need to do.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, you mentioned cell phones. I think that was one of Verizon's coming of age, because Verizon, being the Verizon actually survived Katrina, and had extremely good coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Down there compared to all the other services.
And, George, I'd like to give you a shout-out. In my previous life, 20 years law enforcement, I was commander of the SOD, and I actually started the CERT team in Plaquemines Parish when everything came about after 9/11. And I got to say, our folks down here rose to the occasion. We've got a great group. Even though I'm not on that side of the house anymore, they still have a great group of approximately 125 volunteers.
Hmm.
In a far small parish, I think that's phenomenal. And I want to say that's such a great organization and a great initiative. And you talk about preparedness. If anyone listening out there has the opportunity to get involved in a CERT team in their area, it's tremendous, and it lends so much support to first responders. You know, we had the growing pains like anyone else. You know, law enforcement, we're our own unique breed. We don't like to ask for help from a lot of people. We think we can do everything. So to get our guys on the street to accept civilians as assistants, you know, you had that little hurdle to get over, but I can tell you now, they would never do without them. They provided us so many. I mean, for Katrina itself, just, you know, helping with the cooking of the meals, helping with the cleaning of our clothes. You know, when we're all living in a school gymnasium for weeks on end, and like you say, you know, you're out and work for 14 hours a day, you have to have fresh clothes for the next day, and you surely don't want to come back after 14 hours of work and want to wash your own clothes, or, you know, you're ready to go to sleep if you can. So to have those folks who were our backbone and our support behind the scenes all the time was just tremendous to have.
Right.
Thank you. I do. I appreciate that. And you know, we have the same support from our city. They know that in a true disaster, that they can't handle it. They don't have, you know, we have nine firemen on duty, in our city of, you know, 34,000 people. And mutual aid is a big thing, and during a disaster, there will be no mutual aid. Right. Our mutual aid will come from Northern California or Nevada, Arizona, if they can get through. Speaking of mutual aid, night before last, one of our fire engines and battalion chiefs, along with four others, actually went up to Northern California, almost to the Oregon border, mm-hmm. to fight one of these new five fires that was just posted yesterday. So we're certainly having our moment.
So you're down to four firemen now.
Yeah. No, they took an engine of three, one of our battalion chiefs, but they dragged in other people. We've got people that were on vacation and not supposed to work are now working because the state needed help, and that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We can't do it alone. I mean, 9/11 was a great example of, the city of New York has more law enforcement officers than I have in my whole parish. And, they still needed the help, obviously. Mm-hmm. Some things are just bigger than any of us can handle.
What are some of the things, Guy, that you think about for the future of your parish, Plaquemines Parish? Are there some challenges ahead or some opportunities ahead that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, both, actually. Right now in Plaquemines Parish alone, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has about 8 major levee projects going on with the improvement of our levees. Every year I'm confident in saying that we have better storm protection every year. It gets better every year with the thanks for the Corps of Engineers, with the hard work that they're doing. But it's allowing us to grow back. I know you saw the pictures of the city of New Orleans, the inundation. There's still many areas in this whole region that the general folks have not come back to yet. Because it's hard for someone to come back without knowing if they have that protection. I mean, to put your sweat and blood into a home, you know, you work hard for it, and then to lose it. Insurance, it sounds like, so we all know how it is to deal with insurance. It sounds so easy sometimes, but it's not. That's the challenges we have, but we feel we're moving forward every day, the entire area. Like I said, we're very thankful that everyone outside of this area, including yourselves, you know, you recognize it, you see it, and you put faith in us. Right now we have the big APCO convention, which is the 911 operators. They're in the city right now. I was in the convention all day yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're talking 60,000 folks from all across the United States and the country, and the world. They had a delegation from China there. So those folks recognize that this area has come back, and we're working back at the new normal. And we appreciate that type of support coming back to us. The industry itself, the oil industry, has come back tremendously. They had a lot of devastation during Katrina. We all think about on land, obviously, because that's where we stand all the time. But, you know, all those rigs that are out in the Gulf of Mexico that produce the oil for the continental United States, many of them were damaged beyond repair and took time. They have to redrill the wells, such as that. And so we see that in our parish, we have more folks coming to our parish on a daily basis to work than we really have as residents. We have 20,000 folks live here. But we have that Naval Air Station, which I spoke of, which employs on a daily basis 8,000 people that come into our area, not to mention the oil industry. So we know how important we are to the nation and the area for service and for jobs, and as is anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great that we can all pull together and get back at it, no matter where the disaster would strike. I was very fortunate to be in New York earlier this year and how they have come back from the 911 devastation is tremendous.
It's a brotherhood that you all have, and I know that after 9/11, a lot of New Orleans both firefighters and police went to New York to help. And of course, after Katrina, I've got probably one of the best photos of my time down there. After that was a group of New York firefighters were in helping clean up a New Orleans Fire Department captain's home and get the mud out of that. The place I was at was their ground floor is 6 feet above sea level, and the water reached the top of the lower floor. So the water was 14 feet above sea level
right there.
Up there in Venetian Isles up there. And saw devastation that I didn't know Mother Nature could do.
Mm-hmm. And, there's so many good examples, and we all say to each other that we should have wrote books or documented it better. But, you know, when you're in the middle of a firefight, you're not really looking for down the road. You're looking at the moment. But one of the best stories I have, like I said, we're south of New Orleans. New Orleans got all the attention because being the big city, being the big devastation. We had two gentlemen, and George, I hate to use the word, but older gentlemen, who had retired. One was a retired New York State Trooper, and one was a retired constable from the New York area. They showed up on our doorstep with hat in hand and said, we're here to help. And I broke down into tears. I brought them to my boss, which was the sheriff at the time, and said, you know, here's these 60-some-odd-year-old folks who drove. I mean, nobody would even know where Plaquemines Parish was. And they came, hat in hand, and said, we're here to help, and stayed with us for about 8 days. And unfortunately, we knew their names when they were here, but we never wrote down. We never, you know, and I always regret not being able to thank those guys personally better after it was all over. Because the love that they showed for us just to come down here, never knew any, never had even been to the area in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And just came along, and here they were. And I think that speaks volumes for the United States of America and how we as citizens are ready to go no matter what happens. And no matter what differences we have, you know, even if the Saints have to take a Super Bowl again. You know, I know I could.
Everybody was rooting for the Saints. I'll tell you that. Everybody was.
Thank you.
Right.
Hey, Guy, I was in that FEMA camp in St. Bernard Parish.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that big one. Yeah, I was down there for several weeks.
They call it now the Village of Hope, I think is what they call it now. They're our brothers in arms also. I mean, St. Bernard and us are kind of exactly the same. We both, St. Bernard, you know, was 100% inundated with water. There was not one dry spot of land in the entire parish of St. Bernard. You know, when we got to those guys, they were hunkered down on a wharf on the river. That was the only place they could get. They had lost every single thing. Mm-hmm. I was able to take my special operations crew. Our sheriff deployed us to try to get them fresh water, which we did after the second day. It was amazing. And, you know, look on those folks' faces to see somebody coming to their rescue. And you know, this area is very tight-knit, the entire coastal area, because we're faced with the same problems all the time. And I got to say, we pulled together a very good region. We have a good team, and I'm very proud of it.
It's been amazing to spend time with you, Guy, and I want to thank you for joining us today.
I'd like to thank you for having me. I'm very humbled that, you know, that George reached out to me. I appreciate that, and I hope I didn't bore anyone, but I like to make sure people know what's going on down here, and we really appreciate that the rest of the United States looks to anyone who has a disaster, and the outpouring of support is tremendous. I know, you know, the folks in Oklahoma with the recent tornadoes and such, it's just, I think everybody who's ever experienced it, unfortunately, can truly say that no one's ever turned their back on any part of this country.
Well, we're moving into a period, it seems, Guy, where disasters of this nature are happening all over. We're talking now about tornadoes in Boston.
Right.
Can you believe that? Tornadoes in Boston.
My son-in-law is United States Coast Guard, and he transfers to New Jersey in 1 month with my daughter and my grandchild. So obviously my wife wasn't too excited about hearing about that. But, I mean, you would never expect a tornado in Boston. I mean, unheard of.
No.
Or a storm in New York, in New Jersey. I mean, it's just crazy.
No, first recorded verified tornado in the Boston suburbs since they've ever been keeping records, since the 1850s. Yeah.
It's amazing.
All right, I've got a couple of things to run over real quick.
Yes,
George?
We'll
get back to the show here. And coming up on August 24th is the Beatles concert in the park, and we will be there because of the size of it, providing some first aid. On 9-4, we will be putting on a Red Cross First Aid CPR AED class. It is a Thursday. It'll be a Thursday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. that evening. We'll be doing that in the community center at Manhattan Beach. 9-6, on 9-6, for all of you people interested in the CERT members, we're going to be sorting our equipment. We're going to put all of our gear together. We're going to be moving stuff out of our trailer into our new Area Number 1 vehicle, sorting and making sure everything works so that we will prepare for the shakeout coming up in October. Mm-hmm. We're emptying our trailer because we're going to turn that into a victim's assistance trailer as well as a mass casualty event equipment. And then on 9/20, September 20th, from 9 a.m. until noon, we're going to have communication training specific to our Manhattan Beach training, which would include our land mobile frequencies that we utilize as well as our amateurs. So we'll be able to transmit and practice getting a hold of the city. 10/4 and 5, a hometown fair, which is always the big thing in Manhattan Beach. That's it for right now. This next week, next Tuesday morning, Warren Lee is the director of New Hanover County's Department of Emergency Management and 911. Now, that's in the Wilmington, North Carolina area. So we're going to continue on this little hurricane, tropical storm, and we're going to move it from the south out of the Gulf, and we're going to take it into the Atlantic, where they get hit with more hurricanes and tropical storms than New Orleans does. And so we're going to move there, and we're going to be talking with him next Tuesday morning, August 12th, on our show at 7 a.m. Pacific. That's it. That's it, kids, for now.
That's great. We're taking a tour of the country. It's wonderful.
Where do you want to go next?
We'll go from one disaster area to another.
Yeah.
Hop all over the place. We know there's no shortage of them.
No. So, Guy, tell us, we've got a few minutes, and I want to make sure we get a chance to really get a flavor for what's going on with you. Now, do you have special events coming up?
Our parish, like I said, being small, most of ours centers around fishing. We have several major fishing events that come to our parish during the year. We also have three major fairs and festivals that come into our area. Orange Festival, we produce naval oranges in South Louisiana. Very good crop, tremendous. Very tasty orange. If you have never had a naval orange, please get a hold of one. They're very, very good, especially, and I'm going to say especially from South Louisiana. But we have those type of events. Being in this region, of course, New Orleans is the big boy in the street, but we do provide them a lot of backup on many different things. The four emergency managers from this area I spoke of, we meet on a monthly basis. We're responsible for all the communications in the area. New Orleans is never short on things happening there. So we pull to the table a lot for backup support those things that they have.
Wait a minute. So what he's saying is they've not only got hurricane season, they have convention season.
Yeah.
Yes, and plenty of them.
A different kind of hazard. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, you know, folks come down here in the summer, and you know, they've had to. A big problem we have, a big concern we have, is obviously to evacuate conventioneers if we have to evacuate the city.
Right.
And it takes a lot of coordination, the mayor and the governor. A lot of assets come into play to make sure those folks are not left in harm's way.
You know, I did want to ask real briefly, if one was to locate in Plaquemines Parish, buy a house there, what's flood insurance like?
It's not bad at all. Like I said, my parish is kind of cut in half by the wall. Mm. Now, anything inside the wall is just normal flood insurance rates because you're protected. You know, they go by the protection of the system. Now, where I live, like I said, I live outside the wall, and the government was through some lady from California. I don't want to bring up no names, but she had put that bill in to raise the flood insurance rates, and that would have definitely killed not only us but the entire coastal region of the United States, whether it be the California coast, New Jersey. Those folks in New Jersey and New York with Sandy were faced with the same flood insurance problems that we had after Katrina. Had that bill gone through. Now, the bill has been squashed in Congress for now. We have about a five-year reprieve. So we have actually seen home sales and construction pick back up again. It's very, you know, and I know, you know, I hear it all the time. Why do you live in that area? Why would you live in that area? You know, and I would pose the same question to those who live in the earthquake zones, fires. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the United States of America. It's where you love it and where you enjoy it.
Right.
You're not going to find better food down here.
Right. Home is home.
Down here, you know, it's a place to be.
So. Give me a real estate report. I want a nice three-bedroom, two-bath with a good bit of land.
Where are you going, Joe?
I don't know. I want a price. How much, guys?
Plaquemines Parish?
Yeah.
Plaquemines Parish.
Three-bedroom, two-bath, nice little, you know, half-acre, quarter-acre.
$250.
$250. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
That's beautiful.
George, he's leaving us. We're on our own.
Well, at least we've got Skype.
Well, when y'all come down in October, please, please contact me. Give me a heads up a week or so, and I want to make sure you see our parish and enjoy our culture and answer any questions you might have or any tours you might want to take. I'm there for you.
I have to tell you guys, this is hysterical. Just 2 weeks ago, my soon-to-be 90-year-old mother from New York called me out of the blue. She had read an article, I think it was in the New York Times, about the swamp tours, the bayou tours, alligator tours. And she calls me up and she says, your dad and I did that in the Florida Keys like in the 1940s or 50s or something. She said, I really want to do that again.
Mm.
So I
said,
coming
with you?
Yeah, me and my sisters are taking my mom, and we're going to go down to the New Orleans area. I think we'll probably stay in New Orleans. I don't know where we're going to do our bayou tour, but, yeah, that's why we're going, because mom wants to go see some alligators.
Please reach out to me prior to, and I'll set you up with the best tour guides around. And
okay.
I mean.
All right, you stepped in it, guy.
There you go.
please call. We look forward to it.
All right.
Awesome. That is awesome. We've been talking with Guy Leguest from Plaquemines Parish, the emergency manager for Plaquemines Parish in Belle Chasse, Louisiana. And what a great hour it's been. Thank you so much, Guy, for joining us.
Thank you very, very much for having me, and I really appreciate it. And please stay safe out there.
Thank you. I'm not sure we should give out Guy's information, but if he wants to, he may have a lot of people that are going to come down there for tours.
and boils.
Absolutely.
It's very simple. PlaqueminesParish.com, and you can get in touch with me anytime. And I really do mean it. You know, we in South Louisiana, we love to have a good time. There's work, but there's also play, and you got to have one with the other.
That's right.
That's wonderful. Thank you, George, for joining us.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. I love it.
And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure again.
Always. And what a great show. And, of course, we'll see you all on... Tuesday for South Bay Spotlight. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.